probably tell everybody, remind everybody about that.
Talk to you loud. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Newport City Council Chambers Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee, calling to order at, we got 5:33 p.m. on July 12th, sorry. We'll start with a call to order, which is that, and roll call. I'm Michael Rio, committee chair.
Herb Fredrickson, regular member.
Ryan, council liaison.
Martha Windsor, alternate member.
Lisa Avery, applicant.
Alan Cobb, applicant, I guess, at this time.
Richard Kegel, member.
Pete Dunphy, applicant.
We'll have to wait, and here comes Beth. Welcome to Aaron Collette, City Engineer. We're going to go ahead and jump ahead to item E, which is our City Engineer Q&A. And we'll come back to the other items. So,
that's one of the ones I have to push or just talk?
Is this better? Oh, that's it. Yep. Sit back. I don't move.
Excellent. Okay. So welcome to the meeting.
Thank you
for coming.
Apologies for my tardiness. We were about a hair's breadth from being able to do a road project. So I was just taking care of budgetary issues. So
that's good news here. Anybody wants to start with questions? I'll open the floor.
How about a little intro? We don't know you, so.
Okay. Well, I've probably virtually met some of you. I was on city council just over 9 months ago, and before I got this position, and I was on for a year and a half, almost 2 years. So I know I sat in on at least one or two meetings in that role, but then at the time I was working at Oregon State University as their infrastructure project manager. But then with COVID and not commuting and all that, I got a taste for not driving 2 hours a day. And when this position opened up, it was even more attractive. So I went after it. And so I've been here since October, in this role and just kind of getting it from the other side now and learning the processes from the city side. You know, I've got a background living and working in Corvallis, and so I'm familiar with a little more bike-friendly environment, at least terrain-wise, and so I can certainly sense some frustrations trying to get bike amenities in a town that's shaped the way ours is, at least vertically. So, yeah, we've got some interesting challenges in front of us, I think. Happy to answer any other broader questions or specific. So whatever's helpful. Yeah.
So what is the breadth of your responsibilities with the city as a city engineer?
Oh, boy. So that's actually something that's still kind of a work in progress a little bit. So the position of city engineer / public works director was split. I think the easiest way to look at it would be Public Works Director is like operations and maintenance of our public works, our infrastructure. And City Engineer is more like capital projects, but also development is, our Assistant City Engineer does a lot of the development review from the engineering side of things. So still pretty much the infrastructure and, you know, built environment, not in buildings so much. So although we do also do some buildings projects, we've got a PAC renovation project. So we also seem to be a contract management, project management office. So yeah, like the PAC is a large project, so it's us who will run the contract with that, manage the consultants. So that's probably the simplest way to put it. But it is still morphing and being developed and hasn't really been put down in paper just yet.
So for a bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure project, what would be kind of your review process, just in brief? And I'll leave that at that.
Well, I mean, if it's a specific bike ped project, like purely driven from that angle, it seems like those are generally originating from the community development department. Derek Tokos seems to be pushing a lot of those forward. So on those, I think from that angle, it'd be kind of like a normal project. If it's going to come to us to do it, we would, you know, manage the consultants and then the contractors through design and construction. As far as if it's a, say, a road project, I'll just use the most specific example, which is the one I was just dealing with today, which is Moore Drive. So that's an overlay project. In that case, I knew peripherally, at least, that there was some interest in improving the bike amenities on that road. But because as an overlay, we're not moving the boundaries, so we're not moving the curbs. We're just, you know, grinding out and putting back. In fact, right now, that's sort of the bulk of our road projects, which is unfortunate for adding any width. In that case, early on, I happened to be talking to Beth. I knew it was something that was aware when we were to be aware of. I knew then it came up that it had been striped from previously, I think, having bike lanes and added the center turn lane to deal with some traffic issues that had occurred. And so we brought up to the designer, could we put bike lanes, or in this case, a bike lane back, but also retain the critical sections of the center turn lane, because I understood there was some issues that were safety oriented. So we didn't want to throw away the, because that would have been the easiest way to put bike lanes back, get rid of the center lane, you got plenty of real estate. So the compromise they came up with was to put the uphill bike lane, which I understand Beth brought back and got some support, which was great, because then we feel it's not just a bad idea. Theoretically, a lot of bikers who would be using that road downhill, moving quick enough, hopefully they're comfortable moving. And at the uphills where you'd need that real estate to, for me, stop and rest and whatnot. But we knew it was an issue, so we kind of talked to the designer about it. I think as I'm learning, it seems like earlier in the design, it'd be nice to bring it up. It would help, I think, and I don't know how much the transportation master plan that's being worked through to be adopted soon, if you guys were able to review and put input into that. Anything that touches, we should be looking at. So if we're going to go do another overlay, we should open that up and see if there's a bike component, if it's something we can accommodate within the project that we're doing, then we should try. But again, you know, when we've got those hard borders on the sides, it really does make it tougher. I think having that just as a, just like we check for know, do we have ADA issues along the road that we need to touch up before we get too far in design? We should have that be one of our checklist of items for any sort of road project. Is there a safety bike ped component we could try and incorporate?
I have used the sidewalks around the high school and that quite a bit, both sides of the street, all the way down. Is there anything about the sidewalks belong to Eads are really in sad shape, and especially the closer you get to the high school, the worse it gets?
I'm not aware of an immediate project to take care of that. I hate to say this, but the sidewalks in a lot of places are in bad shape. Budget constraints are very real. You know, I know a lot of cities will say that and people don't believe them, but it's real. For instance, I should be doing 4 road projects the size of the one I'm doing this summer. And we don't have the money to do that right now. So it's a struggle to keep up on almost a maintenance level as opposed to more of a preventative maintenance approach.
And on that, I've told the council multiple times that instead of trying to shake money out of trees for new sidewalks, we need to maintain the sidewalks we already have. I can give you like 50 examples around town where there's newer sidewalk that's overcome with weeds that break up the concrete because staff hasn't had a chance to implement an IPM program that we made a council goal 4 years ago. So,
fair point.
I don't, as a taxpayer, I don't necessarily want to see new sidewalks unless we can find a way to get Public Works to maintain the ones we already have. And I've given them a roadmap, and that's all I can do. I can't hold anybody's hand.
Well, and I'm not as deeply involved in that side of things, but I know, you know, staffing had been an issue. I think it's becoming less of an issue, which is great. I also know budget and just a workload that's bigger than the group of people. So, but yeah, it's a valid point because it doesn't do a lot of good to keep building things that we can't keep up and have them fall apart on us.
The wild carrot's particularly destructive, and you can see that blooming all around town on every new curb, every new rain director, every new culvert. There's wild carrot.
Yeah.
Breaking the concrete up, and I've seen new curb that the city installed on Ocean View that got mowed over, and because the mower hit the top of the curb, the concrete's degrading much quicker than if it had been sealed. So, yeah. I mean, there's an operations component, there's a staffing component, and there's just a small city can't do everything all the time, and that's why I encourage Mike and Spencer to do an IPM program, because there's more tools in the toolbox than just driving around town, watching everything disappear under roadside weeds.
Good point.
Maybe we should get the Public Works Director in next time. I mean, that's a valid thing. See what he does. And
I'm not all negativity here. I saw that they were striping all the school crosswalks the other day, and I stopped and talked to the crew and told them I really appreciate that improvement. That's much easier to do when school's out, but as we have drier summers, that improvement will last through next winter, most likely, and help protect those areas that are, you know, have a lot of crossings.
Yep.
So they're on that when they can, but there's 4 guys on the crew.
Yeah.
For a city of 10,000, I mean, that's another component of adding more infrastructure without adding FTEs.
Yeah. And that's a good general point. I won't run down the rabbit hole, but it's often easier to find the funds to do a project, but not the funds to then keep it up. A lot of times, just the way the money comes, if we're, you know, grant money and other money, they often don't really allow you to say, you know, something costs $100,000. They don't let you put an extra $10,000 into an account for the first year maintenance or whatever. So it's a unique challenge. Yeah. But so on like fixing the sidewalks, a lot of that's just sort of, we have to go after the worst of it and just kind of keep working through, trying to catch up. You know, thankfully sidewalks do last a little longer than roads, and that helps.
So is it fair to say that you pretty much take off from where Derek ends by getting the money and getting the grants. You start the project by getting the consultants' request for proposals to design it, and then you review it a little bit, and you know it goes back and forth.
Yeah,
and at one point,
management.
You ask us for help, or me for help, or I mean input.
So since I've been here, I haven't pushed a what we call a planning project through, which is you know the community development originated. I would think that if it originates in your office, you guys would be an early major stakeholder. Plus you would scope it most likely. You would have been the one that says, this is what we're going to do. So
yeah, that's so that generally would... what Derek does. He has a few in the works. Some
yeah.
money may be coming pretty soon because he did a pretty general scope of what's going to happen. And then once we get the money or the promise of the money, then is that when the handoff occurs pretty much?
Yeah, I mean, once it's a funded project or will be a funded project, we take on most of the project management. Derek does some as well. He's very capable of doing that too. But on average, I think our group will be doing most of that.
Okay, so then it's you, and then you pretty much hand it off to David Powell, Public Works Director.
After it's built?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. After it's built, it goes into operation and maintenance mode. Yeah. Well, after warranty period, but yeah. So, another thought to, I guess, keep in mind is, you know, I really feel like I'm learning a lot more about going after money. So public groups such as this are often more powerful for going after money, grant money that's available. So to the degree that this group can identify and help us pursue funds, that's a great thing to keep on the radar, you know, because if money comes out of nowhere that's specifically for a bike project or a ped project and we, you know, we get it, then great. We can add that to the pool. That's perfect, you know, especially if it wasn't something we were counting on getting. So that's something to... But also, I think it wouldn't hurt as we're looking at our roads program and our others. Is you know, we maybe there's ways to augment that as well, so that you know we could see if there's because a lot of times when you go for grants, you have a match requirement. So if we're already building a road and that counted as our match, and if we could use that to leverage some more money, stuff like that, I think it'd be good. And the city did budget in a grant writing position. I don't know where we're at with hiring, but if we get someone like that on board, I would definitely invite them here and get their focus on some bike and ped projects to help, you know, cause, and you and they could feed one another.
That's a great idea.
So do you get involved in priority, deciding what's gonna be approached and what's gonna be done?
Yeah, to a degree, it's, again, we're, because we're sort of in a little bit of catch-up mode, it's almost not as hard to prioritize because you've got some fairly obvious ones that have to get tackled. But yeah, like so each our budget process, each department submits their requests. And last year we had, I don't know, just under 200 projects that then get whittled down under several rounds. We're still have a lot more projects than we have funding or staff levels. So right now I'm actually pulling the funded projects into a list and I'm gonna try and do one last sort of prioritization round so that we have a new senior project manager on board. We were lucky to hire somebody who's got, you know, a couple decades of design experience. He can manage several projects. And so basically need to hand him a batch to keep moving. And then the ones that are sort of out of his, you know, one person can only manage so many, we may have to try and find the funding or reallocate some funding to then hire outside support to manage some more so we can get more done in the year. So yeah, so we'll do another round, but by the time it gets to the council for adoption, it's been whittled down several times. And And that's something we're still working to refine even more. I'm hoping by next year it's even more of a slick project or process with maybe more universally understood ways to whittle them down, you know. So yeah, we're trying to continually improve that process.
I have a few questions. My name's Herb Fredrickson, and I have public works background. I'm civil engineer.
So yeah. Sorry we didn't get to connect before this, but we'll have to meet later.
Maybe we can have lunch sometime and talk shop. So
yeah.
So I completely understand budget constraints, staffing. Just a couple questions. If residents have complaints related to walking places, riding their bikes, is there a vehicle for them to be solidified in the department, or is it just a phone call and then?
I know the website has the contact us emails, and I believe those are allowed to be targeted. So like I'll occasionally get some directly, others will go more broadly. Some people go straight to the top, go to Spencer or council with them. So that's one venue. If somebody doesn't want to call, they could call. I hate to only focus on complaints, but being notified by people is one way that we can start building a list of where issues are arising. So
the website's a good avenue for that, because sometimes people ask us out in public.
It's a decent tool, yeah. And it's, you know, nowadays pretty readily available to most folks. And again, calling if somebody doesn't like to use the internet. I believe there's a
phone number. I certainly encourage anyone to email the council if they have a concern, or especially if it's neighborhood specific, because those can sometimes be the easiest ones to solve.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy that lives over on Northwest 19th that talked about a street light out, which was Central Lincoln's issue, but I helped him work through it, and he had kind of felt powerless, but when you give him the tools, it can empower everybody to know that it's trackable and everything. So feel free to email an individual or the whole group or to Spencer, or like Aaron was saying there, you can, like for potholes, it usually goes to David Powell or whatever.
Yep.
Speaking of which, there's a pretty good new one there coming up from Natterland Drive going on to 101 by the old Les Schwab. My little car went into that one the other day.
Yeah, I've actually enjoyed, I have a truck now that has bigger tires, and I don't miss the low profile on my other car. My wife's learning Newport in a new way now because she gets to drive the other car, so she just commented this weekend about that. Yeah, so the website's great, and again, I do think there's a phone number, and those get taken seriously. I mean, we may not be able to solve it, but they are looked at, and we do our best to either tackle it, or at the very least, it adds to our knowledge base, because, you know, it's like adding 10,000 people to our crew to monitor the city.
Well, I just want to add too, it does work. My street, we had actually right out front of my house, we had a stretch about 100 yards that was potholing for years down the center, right above the sewer line. And we had a coordinated group of neighbors that lived at the beginning or below those potholes, and we just kept pestering the city.
Yeah.
And they came out this spring and repaved the entire center, scraping and resurfaced the entire center of the street. I haven't had a pothole since. So it does work.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a newer approach. My street, I live behind Fred Meyer area, and we had the exact same thing. I have a neighbor who was on the city regularly, and they were patching it quickly and regularly. But cold patch pots.
Talking about the same street, actually.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the approach they used, I've been sort of calling it like a micro overlay. Basically, they just do like one big pass with the machine. It's not going to last as well as a full fix would last. However, it's definitely lasting longer already than the last 10 fixes. So we probably can't budget to do that all over the city, but in certain places with chronic issues that are deep, and those were ones that were, you'd sink to your bumper almost. Yeah, that's addressed that problem pretty well. So yeah, kudos to Justin over in the streets department for coming up with that one.
Speaking of that, a lot of you are new, but it's kind of like what we tried to do. I've encouraged bike ped people to call Fix It on the Public Works web page. And especially when things are wearing out, like Sharrow's bike lanes, it's that's just a great thing to do for safety when you see things unsafe. I mean, when a line is lost, crosswalk, I mean, it just looks like anybody can cry. Well, I won't go into it, but yeah, it gets dangerous.
Well, and again, it could simply be a matter of somebody from our crew hasn't driven by it recently enough to know that, and so that information can be extremely useful. Unfortunately, with our long wet season, putting down new striping is limited, but yeah, they're out there. I think they're going to be painting curbs this week. So
that's how it is. It needs to be dry, and it's a vinyl type of
especially
if
it's thing. If it's the torch down, if you do it in the wrong weather, it won't stay. It'll pop. It's almost not worth your time. Now, you might be able to do a short-term solution with paint during the winter if you can get a dry few days, but it'll wear off a lot faster. The torch downs work better.
Is it easy to tell what's been vinyl heat and what's paint?
It's measurably thicker.
It's the thickness. Okay.
Like, I've seen some of the torch downs that, you know, you can hold the one edge and the thing sticks out rigid for quite a ways. I mean, it's pretty thick. You had multiple?
What's the easiest way for the public to see what projects are up and coming or possibly if the maintenance crew has a large project? Is there a venue for the public to?
There's a really outdated website on the Public Works page, which technically should be the engineering web page. So that shows that we're a little behind on getting that up to date. However, there is some good news on the horizon in that we've hired, the city has hired a GIS person who has been very fast and very effective. One of my hopes is that as we get this list of projects done, and it would be to at the very least have a map that shows where they are in town. Ideally, I'd love to have a little blurb on each one to put. That's probably a little further out, but ideally, long term, that would be the ongoing process. Would be at least the engineering capital projects have a map and or list for ones that are harder to throw on a map to where you could, you know, click on it and it would take you to a page with just a simple couple sentences about the work. And, you know, long term, I'd love to get to the point where, you know, as work's coming up and we've got schedules, even posting that saying, you know, when road closures are coming and stuff like that. But I think we need to get a little more ahead of that to be able to do that effectively yet. It's kind of one of those where it's like, I really want to make sure we can do it right when we do it and then maintain it as opposed to dangle something that we can't maintain and make it worse, you know, having a bunch of out-of-date info.
Generally, the city can afford to amend whatever that ends up being, whether that's a full rebuild or usually just an overlay or a slurry seal, about 10 street segments a year. And the need is probably 30 to 40, but there just isn't the money to. The three parking districts don't produce nearly enough money to even cover the cost of a few street segments. And that's always been a big disconnect because people grouse about paying into the parking district and see degraded roads. But unfortunately, in our climate, the asphalt doesn't last as long as it does on the dry side. But help is on the way there with the metering thing that's coming down the pipe. That will greatly increase the streets fund, which goes right back into those street segments. You just have to take the long view, I guess, on that.
So the parking meter revenue will go to 100% to roads?
I assume so. I'm not as involved in that.
Before it was disbanded because of COVID, the whole agreement was that the city would pay itself back for the expense and then the rest of the revenue would go towards an enforcement officer, the lease payments to the software company that runs the meters, and then the streets fund. That's my understanding of what we agreed to.
Yep.
So net revenue goes to streets. That's great.
And the city's also trying to lobby. You know, we had that street tax try to go out last year, got voted down fairly narrowly on that one, actually. That would have been to augment the street fund and do more projects. I think that might have also suffered as an unfortunate timing incident with the other measure. But we're also lobbying because the room tax is allocated, a certain portion has to be allocated towards supporting tourism. It seems like a fairly disproportionately high percentage. And
right now it's 70-30.
Yeah.
And the League of Oregon Cities has prioritized a legislative concept for the 2023 session to get it to get the trade-off to more like 60-40 or 50-50. So small cities have a little bit more budgetary flex in what is considered tourist infrastructure. Historically, it's just been promotion or materials or billboards, but the definition is very gray. But Orla and the other lobbying groups, Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association, sorry, too many acronyms.
Yeah.
They were the impetus behind fighting the prepared food tax and the gas tax increase, which would have been 1 or 2 cents per gallon, I think. But anyway, the point is they came to a meeting and they said anything more than zero, they wouldn't support. I tried 0.5%, 0.25%, down from 5, but they didn't even like 0.25%, so there you go. Yeah. But that would have gone into the parking fund and the streets fund if that had passed.
And
okay, to clarify that, 70% for tourism and streets, and 30% for what?
So, well, it depends. So any transient lodging tax that's collected by the state or the local government, 70% of that has to go back into promotion. And that's through a structure in town here, which is Destination Newport and the chamber, and which is managing that now. And some other Oregon Coast Visitor Association and some of these other groups that are promoting tourism coastwide. Say you wanted to repave a street, you would have to make the case under a very non-rigid framework that's not clear to a lot of city managers about how an expenditure is or isn't tourism related. Like, for example, when we made the improvements at Don Davis Park, that was considered pretty easy to justify that expense. Or like the banners program around Night Beach, those things are essentially promoting tourism and also community livability. But when you go to, you know, do brush control or build a new sidewalk, they're more picky about whether or not that can be TRT related. So
the
hope
the
is we get clear guidance from the state legislature, so all cities can get a better idea of what can and can't be used with the TRT funds.
So what's the 30% go to?
The general fund.
General, yeah. So if the ratio changed and that was 50%, then, you know, that would help. Or I argued, you know, when I was on council, I said, well, to me, if I'm a tourist and I come to a town and the streets look like crud and I'm breaking my tires on potholes, that's not a real roaring endorsement for the town. So I would say, to some degree, at least on main streets, if nowhere else, you could argue that is somewhat a tourism benefit. So if our town had, you know, most of our main thoroughfares in really good condition and maintained with that fund, I think you could argue that would help your experience.
I made that same argument to the Orla lobbyists, not to rehash that, but their argument back to me was, well, people come to Oregon because they're not paying sales tax of every other state around Oregon has. And they're really doubling down on that argument as a reason to promote tourism here, to the detriment of the residents of Oregon, of course.
Well, and you could argue that people come to the coast because the ocean's there and it's already there and people know it. So Do we really need to advertise that the ocean's on this side? So anyway.
So, well, that's great.
That's
talking
a lot
about
more than you wanted to know about that. But
I'm talking about funds. Don't forget your other questions. But I do think as a group we should talk to Destination Newport people because a lot of bike and ped amenities are easily argued can be for promote tourism. If only signage, wayfinding signage. That's definitely for tourists.
I think you could argue that easily enough.
When we produce bike maps that have routes that are designed specifically not for residents but mm-hmm. for visitors, mm-hmm. so and we don't provide the infrastructure for them to avail themselves of those routes, then what's the point?
So. Yeah. I would bet the majority of bikers on Ocean View are tourists.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially considering that's part of the Oregon Coast bike route. So
yeah. We need to talk about that. Okay.
One other common question, comment or question. You mentioned grants, and maybe we could help in that way. I'm putting together a spreadsheet of grant opportunities. I think Thomas provided something that the Nudes had used, the mountain bike group.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great spreadsheet. And so I'm just going to build on that for, you know, capital projects. And I've done a good bit of grant writing in the past, so
nice.
I kind of know what to look for and all that. So that's something I tasked myself to do
for
the group. So we'll keep you posted on that.
And if we get the grant writer on board, you should connect so that you have somebody to help kind of see what you're doing. And
that'd be good.
Support you.
Can you think of other things that this group could do to support Public Works?
Well, I mean, like Ryan and I were just talking about that other issue. I mean, if a bunch of folks in the public were to be helping build the case that, you know, having our roads be in better shape is a tourism benefit or just to switch the ratio so that small towns like ours would have the funds to, you know, to fix our amenities and have bike infrastructure for people to follow the maps and all that, anything like that. I just think it sort of boils down to, if I go say something, it carries a certain amount of weight, but if the public says it, it carries a different amount of weight. So yeah, anything that can just support your own agenda, which is logical. So, you know, yeah.
The chamber is always looking for community groups to come to their monthly luncheons and get something into their ear, and the more you do that, the more they're likely to prioritize infrastructural spending that benefits pedestrian safety and bicycle amenities. If you don't go there, a lot of them don't ride bikes or walk much, so they might not know your perspective, and that's super valuable to be able to share that. Well, there's a brand new executive director of the chamber, and so pretty good timing to get those ideas in front of a new leadership collective.
And, you know, I mean, yeah, them, you know, council, letting them know. I think it helps to try and focus your messaging if you can. Again, being on council and seeing how many emails I got, it's good to have that message come in more than once, but it also helps if it's got some continuity. So, you know, just get sort of the shotgun blast, you get more of a, like, hey, here's some things we really think would be worth. And so pick your pet projects to hammer on first and then work your way through them. And
I also would say the timing of next year having a long legislative session with a lot of new legislators, it's one of the biggest turnovers that I've seen in a while.
True, right?
Your in Salem, I would encourage this group to reach out to other bike pet committees regionally and put together a boilerplate letter to the editor, because zines always like letters to the editor, like Eugene Weekly or Portland Mercury or the bigger publications like the Oregonian. I think legislatures pay attention to that stuff, and if they see regional hubbub about a particular idea that's not specific to one person, you know, axe grinders like myself, you know, maybe they'll turn their head and look and have some, they all get 12 LCs in a long session, so they could potentially even craft potential legislation or co-sponsor something another legislature puts in. So it's a big opportunity that only happens every couple of years.
Yeah, let them know. I mean, it kind of works the same way as letting us know there's a problem in town. You're helping them broaden their knowledge base. So, yeah.
I want to make a note, getting back to the chamber schmoozing. I'm trying to go to those chamber after hours. You can get on their newsletter list. You can end up talking to the new chamber of commerce person that way, just casually. It's always helpful.
All right.
Any further questions from anybody? Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate
and it. If you guys think of any other things we can be doing on our projects, or you know, check-in points or something like that, you know, we can keep talking, and you know, I'll just keep it on my radar as we go. Again, apologies that it's mostly overlays, so it makes it harder, but again, we got lucky on more, and we're putting in a bike lane that isn't there today. So
Aaron, that reminds me, I hate to make you stay now because you brought it up, in my head at least, is what do you think about a formalized system where...
It's a double-edged sword. You know, sometimes our processes have to be fairly quick, and if you add a bunch of steps, it can really make it more cumbersome. That said, if we're not communicating, then maybe that's needed. So I would hope maybe we try and establish a rapport and a good communication process. And if this group feels like that's being successful, then we could potentially call it at that level. But it's certainly not something I can say don't do if this group wanted to push for that option. I know there's examples out there. I think Corvallis has a formal step. But again, they've got the terrain for more. And two, it's an admittedly extremely bike-friendly city, you know. So they've got a lot of advantages. But, yeah, no, I think at the very least we need to have good communication and check-ins and just, you know, your team is a stakeholder for projects. But, yeah, if you communicate, then there may be something that I don't even realize that you're a stakeholder on. So if you can help.
Well, on that, I mean, we made it a council goal in 2018 to have the city staff use social media more, because it's pretty much only Jason's department and the police that use it. And that is a burden I'd like to say, and I can't because it's not factual, I'd like to have seen more progress on that, but I have a number of theories that don't really matter right now, but we need someone who's social media savvy, because some cities, small cities, are using social media to help document issues that arise, and then that allows the city staff to flush out who's using the social media and whether that person is providing, you know, beneficial reporting, or they're just griping, or, you know, if somebody can interact in a positive, friendly way, it could help build rapport with the city generally. I think it's obviously takes staff time, but yeah. I think that's been a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, I worked in Bend for a little while, and they had a department for communication and outreach. So each of my projects, they have the luxury of having a retired National Geographic videographer in town who donates time to video us. So we've got these ridiculously uncharismatic engineering descriptions being filmed by these magnificent backdrops and whatnot. But I think that is something I'd also like to implement as a better outreach approach for projects in general. So as we're kind of kicking into the projects sort of under my department, that's something else which will give more opportunities for groups like this and others to come in. One other one I thought of for you to find, you know, what projects are slated is the budget document. You can go under finance and look there and see what got funded. So that's a good way. And the titles are usually fairly descriptive, but you can always reach out if you want more info. But we'll try and get our website a little more up to date and
I think if you get the website up to date, then we can keep track. I can report monthly what's going on to the group, and then you guys can decide if you want to interact with.
It's literally been just a staffing issue, though. Yeah, so if we can hire, we have a position, we need to tweak the description and get it on the streets. If we can hire for that, so right now the whole engineering department's 4 people, and with all of the development to be reviewed and something like 80 projects on our list to get done. And then Big Creek Dam kind of by itself is its own huge animal. Not excuse, just that's our reality. So, but this is a priority. We should really get our website. I think the project list is from my predecessor's predecessor. So it's getting outdated. So we'll work on that.
In the meantime, I will be talking with you and begging you what's going on this month.
Yeah.
And that should do it.
Please do remember his constituents that right before he got primaried, Kurt Schrader got $62 million, which is about 80% of the construction cost of that new dam, appropriated into a bill, and now it's sitting squarely in the Senate. So it wouldn't be a terrible time to call our 2 senators who have been to the dam a number of times and are on board to get the Natural Resources Committee, which is comprised of people that aren't 100% aware of the project or the impact of this part of the state or region, on board with potentially supporting that as it moves through the Senate. It would be unlikely to pass if it isn't voted on by November, and so I think it'd be really important for people that live in this part of Oregon to remind our representatives how important that dam is for, one, to keep our straw to the Sillettes, because I was on the Upper River on Sunday, and it's really low, even now after a rainy spring. Just the groundwater from so many dry summers back-to-back has really, really reduced the overall amount of water in the system. But the good news is we got that appropriation, at least in the House. Yep. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. Yeah, that was a big one. Because that divide 80 to 100 million by 10,000, that's not a friendly number. So we're trying really hard to pursue grants. And also Representative Gomberg helped us get the 14 million for the design, since we're veering under the dam real quick. So I won't bore you all with that. It's in the paper, so you can read up if you want.
It's all boring until you turn the tap on and nothing comes out. There are 30, 40 cities in the Salinas Valley right now that are living that reality, and it's sobering, but we should do our darndest to avoid being a low-supply city by encouraging everyone to conserve, even in wet years, because the more we take out of that river, the more it impacts fish species. So,
yeah. And again, just through Beth or directly, let us know sort of what are some of the priorities of this group and what areas of town would you focus on? I know Ocean View came up, and that's on the radar. I know the TSP has some ideas for that. Putting together a scope for a traffic engineer to look at a couple specific areas in town, a few intersections on Ocean View, and then I was going to ask them for just a general toolbox of behavioral modification ideas we could try and implement. So there's a lot of stuff you can do that doesn't necessarily, if you go throwing stop signs where they're not supposed to be, the city takes on liability. It's not as simple as that, but you can do other things, painting lines that get closer and make you feel like you're going faster. Other, you know, narrowing the street with paint. So I was going to ask for a suite or a toolbox of items that we could do and ask them to drive up and down Ocean View all the way and sort of maybe just highlight some ideas that we could try and, you know, as interim solutions to try and continuously just improve that. We've thrown some signs up. We've got some curve signs and some advisory speed signs. We do have a pending request to re-review the speed limit on the northern portion, extend the 25 mile an hour zone further. That's been rejected at ODOT before, but one of the ways we could potentially have success there is if behavior changes. It's kind of backwards. If they go out there and people are driving 25, they'll let you move the speed limit to 25. The road's designed for faster than that. It is definitely designed for 35. So be careful how you do that. That's got to be. But one of the things we have done is we've painted fog lines. That helps. That will help us. It may not be enough. There's some stuff that is in the works for Ocean View specifically. So, but other knowing your priority areas, where I don't really know where people bike in town, because I don't bike much here, I wouldn't mind seeing a safer batch of places for folks to bike. So, yeah, we'll have to work together. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay, so we're going to go jump ahead to the first item on our other business, which I'm going to reverse the order. We're going to welcome our new members first, and then we'll get to your interview. With that, I'd like to welcome Dwayne and
Alan.
Yeah, I prefer Alan.
Okay, Alan it is. And Pete to the committee.
Hello.
I do have a handbook for each of you. That one's yours, actually. So there's a welcome letter in there and some of our governing documents and spaces for you to store your own notes and things like that. And then there's a little bit of a boilerplate speech that I'm going to give real quick.
Oh, we're going to go over expectations later.
Oh, okay. Never mind that one then. So we'll go ahead and jump to our interview for Lisa Avery, for a potential new member.
Real quick, I just wanted to confirm receipt of handbook.
Oh, and a note, that is my spirit animal on the cover. This is a woman people were driving too fast on her street, so she sat down with her cop glasses and a blow dryer. It's not plugged in. It doesn't work. It's supposed to look like a speed checker. So I love her.
Okay, Lisa, I'm going to ask you first, give you a little bit of an introduction to yourself, and then we'll ask a few questions.
Hi, I'm Lisa Avery. I moved here from Denver in 2020, and I'm a pretty passionate bike rider and mass transit user. So when I saw that there was an opening here, I just jumped at it. And everything that you guys are working towards are things that I firmly believe makes a city a healthy city.
Sorry for that. Turn that back on so I don't have to keep pushing the button. So first question, of course, is will you be able to regularly attend our meetings? We do them the first Tuesday of every month from 5:30 to 7-ish. Sometimes we do run a little over.
I can.
Okay. We've already covered why you're interested in serving and some of your background. Do you have much personal experience biking and walking in Newport?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time looking at the maps of Newport to try to piece together bike rides. It's harder here than Denver, of course. I'm trying to ride as much as I can. I just conquered the bridge last week. I don't think I'll be doing that a lot, but I did, that was a hurdle of mine and I finally did overcome it. I plan on doing more and more. I finally am getting more comfortable on 101. That was a little bit of a hurdle for me as well.
Yeah, I stay off of 101 within town. Outside of town, I'm okay with it.
But I don't know if it's brave or if it's stupidity.
Did you ride on the street or the sidewalk?
I walked the bike one way and then rode on the way back.
On the street?
On the street, yeah.
Wow, that is brave.
But I'm not a very good cyclist, so I think that I can help here too. Because I think when you're brave, you don't see everything that you know you need to see. And so I do look for safer ways of doing the bike ride. So I think that's how I could help here as well.
So and what do you feel some of the challenges cycling and walking in Newport are that you could identify?
And a lot of them have come up here. Just the feeling of safety, signage, just knowing which is a good route, because I've taken some poor options. So I think that if we had, a little bit better signage, some simple things. I know budget's difficult. And to be creative and just come up with ways that can guide people to better routes than some of the more, or non-safe options.
Okay. And anything else you'd like to add?
So there's more than just biking. I'm a firm believer in mass transit just because it makes people equal. There, with the gas prices, if you can actually get from A to B without driving a car or if you don't have a car, I think that the equity in making it a safer, easier to get around city is important. I also am a destination biker. Again, I'm not a good biker, but I do like to go to cities that have biking in them. So you were talking about destinations, getting people to come here. If you can simply put out there that you have some biking options, I think you get more people to come to visit your city.
Okay. Does anyone else on the committee have any questions? I
just have a point. So just so you know, the Lincoln County Transit is under the guise of the Board of Commissioners at the county courthouse there, and they are in charge of budgeting for county transit. And this year they cut it 12%. So advocacy for, I was advocating this last spring for getting some e-transit and some better dial-a-ride for elderly people who live on the fringes of the county. But those concerns were not included in the county budget, but I would recommend that the group continue to push for level funding of county transit, and instead of the big diesel buses that have one or two people on them, have a smaller hybrid van or something that uses less fuel and therefore lowers the cost per passenger per trip. That's what I would recommend.
I want to make a comment there. It's not part of our in code for BikePed to deal with transit per se. Of course, we will deal with people all the way up to the bus stop, and most people walk to the bus stop. So, but I think that's a good argument for calling us the active transportation group instead of BikePed, and that's a whole change, and we have to talk to City Council about that because the City of Newport does give a good chunk of money every year to the transit system. It's not completely done, by them. So it would be nice if we could incorporate that in because it really should be together.
More specifically, it's a line item on residential property tax assessments for county transit. For people live outside is a different assessment level, and people live in the city is a different level. But yes, we're all paying for that, and so I think, I agree with Beth.
Okay, so then I guess we'll want to take a vote. So all in favor of, or I guess I don't need a motion, do I?
Okay, anybody want to make a motion to recommend?
I'll make a motion. We recommend Lisa Avery to City Council as a member.
And a second?
Second.
And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the ayes carry it. Thank
you. Thank you.
So just a small detail. So when a standing committee like this adds members, it's the mayor that makes the appointments. And so he'll do that at the next meeting that he attends, which he's excused from next Monday's meeting. So it'll be the first meeting in August. We should be able to get that through at that point. Does that make sense? That sounds right. Anyway, Dee won't be here next week, so he'll do the appointments in August.
I always say we recommend to the mayor and city council.
But regardless, if the mayor doesn't get to it, you're still welcome to, of course, come to the next meeting.
Absolutely.
By the way, have Alan and
Pete?
Thank you, Pete. Have they been approved? I didn't see it in the minutes by city council. Appointed is the word.
Now this is awkward. I missed the last meeting because I was in overseas, but
no worries.
You could certainly
I didn't
inquire
see it.
At the Den of Spencer down the hall there.
Well, soon enough, it'll happen.
Okay, moving on to the next item of business is our goals and objectives update. That's a good question for the whole committee. Do we want to go back to any of the items that we did skip over to jump into to Alan's questioning?
Approved June minutes.
Good point, yeah. So I will take a motion and a second to approve the meeting minutes for June.
I make a motion, we approve the June minutes.
I'll second.
And all in favor, aye. And the ayes carry it, so the minutes are approved. Do we have any agenda additions, Beth?
No, nobody had any to this agenda.
And we have no public comments, so we can move on to that. Okay, so on to our goals and objectives update. So I guess Beth did some wordsmithing on this after the meeting from June, which I did miss. So I'll go ahead and read through the five major goals real quick. Goal one is to work to make Newport's transportation modes safer. Goal two, to help city council identify active transportation funding sources, which is Herb is on. Goal three, work with local groups, agencies, and organizations, especially active transportation groups, to promote active transportation in Newport. Goal four, maintain positive working relationships with the city council, other advisory committees and commissions, and city staff to implement BPAC active transportation goals. I think I added a word in there. And goal five, to track our city street infrastructure projects, which of course was a big topic of conversation. Any questions or comments? Okay, so then I'm going to go and request a motion and second to approve these draft for our goals for the year. Is that the next step? Yeah. Anyone?
I'll make a motion that we approve the goals and objectives for 22-23.
I'll second.
Okay, and all in favor? Aye. And the ayes carry.
I just have a comment that I put a note on my calendar to bring goals and objectives up again in November, December, because as I recall, City Council would like to have our goals and objectives in February or March. So they, you know, in a timely order. So I made a note that, and I'm going to bring it up in November, December, that we review this and modify it, because it takes several months to hash through it. So,
absolutely, I'll make a note of that as well. Okay, and then moving on to item four under other business, other committees signups. So we do have a sign-up sheet.
Yes, F4. So a lot of people have signed up. Thank you, Herb, Michael, Martha, Minda not here. But if anybody's interested in being the person who kind of just has that connection with these groups that have not been assigned, there are only three: Public Arts Committee, Library Board, and City Council, in addition to Ryan and Beatrice. I put City Council on there because, basically all we would like of you to do is read their minutes, maybe, you know, if you want to attend one of their meetings, just kind of be the person who is the connector to that group. And if anything comes up at their meetings, to let us know, it's something we may be interested in, like maybe you're the police person, maybe the police are doing a bike helmet giveaway or something, which they have done stuff like that and we weren't aware of. So just, you know, if there are any connections, like maybe if the Arts Committee is thinking of doing a public art project, maybe we could combine it with, they could make bike racks, public art, you know, connections like that. So it's not a big deal to do. You just need to kind of read their minutes and maybe their agendas and attend. Does anybody want to volunteer for those three that I mentioned?
I'll just mention in next year's budget, Public Arts Committee got an extra $50,000 to do public art. So opportunities ripe for a bike ped focused art project, perhaps.
I have a few comments while everyone's thinking about their future. I'm on Destination Newport and Planning Commission. So, and I reviewed their videos or their last meetings. So I'm just gonna spend a minute and tell you what they went over. The next meeting, Destination Newport, is on June 16th. Basically, they talked about a Pride event in September and then some billboard issues. But an interesting thing that came up, they ended up, the group supporting the Pride event asked for $5,000. And the group had $13,000 or no, $15,000. Destination Newport had $15,000 left out of their $20,000 to $25,000 budget that expires July 1st. I'm talking about the June meeting. So they ended up giving the Pride group $13,000, which was their total budget, and they were only asking for $15,000. So with our conversations about doing some community events related to streets, bikes, pedestrians, we should keep Destination Newport in mind for money to pay for advertising or et cetera, if we, on the next year cycle. And then the Planning Commission, they were just talking about amending short-term rental agreements, putting together a camping ordinance. But another interesting thing I saw on their work program was it looks like they're trying to identify candidates for a city center revitalization project advisory committee. So that might be something that someone from this group might have some interest in, because if it's a city center revitalization, it's going to be centered around people moving through that area. And that's kind of what we do. So,
and walking and amenities and benches and.
They didn't formally say when they're going to do this or if it's actually going to be a formal advisory committee, but it was in the minutes, and it's going to be on their agenda next month. So, keep that in mind. That's it for my report.
Destination Newport would be a neat place to tap when we're talking of doing a bike and walk to school day project. I may be worth talking to them about that. And then, of course, for Parks and Rec, I'm not up on their minutes, but we do, Beth and I did have a meeting with Mike Cavanaugh and Nancy Steinberg, and we're going to have our joint meeting with them next session. So it'll be their committee and our committee in the same room. And there's obviously a lot of overlap between what Parks and Rec does and what we do, because if you got parks and you want people to be able to walk to them, that's kind of our purview. So,
Beth, I'll Michael. Sign up for the Public Arts Committee.
Michael.
Thank you.
I'd be willing to trade one if you wanted to do arts or library. I'd be happy to take Parks and Rec.
We can't have two people on one.
Yeah. No, yeah, no, absolutely. I'd welcome the participation on Parks and Rec, because there's obviously a lot of stuff that they do, and I know that your group, Newts, is kind of tied in with what they're doing as well, at least thematically, I want to say.
So both of you are in.
It all goes through the Parks and Rec department.
Okay, that's good, yeah.
So I have Martha for the Public Arts Committee. We have still the library board and city council. And by the way, the librarian is a dynamo and she has so much going on. I had an informal meeting with her and I said, as soon as we get a person to be the liaison to the library board, let's have a joint meeting with the library board. So I'm just leaving it at that. It's a pretty juicy position. I think it would be really fun to be the library board liaison. That's all I'm saying.
Well, if Thomas is going to step in and double up with me on Parks and Rec, which I do, again, think is a great idea, police and parking are fairly slow. I'll go ahead and put library on my agenda. Yes, I know I'm taking too much on again.
Thank you, Michael.
I hope it's not presumptuous, but I'll volunteer for the library board. Or whichever one is open.
No, the two of you are fine. Yeah. You want to do it together?
Actually, we can do that joint. That'd be wonderful.
Michael and Lisa. Nope takers want to follow city council? Yeah, I know it is a lot of work. I'll keep doing it as well as I can. Default is me, but Minda's already signed up. Okay.
You can file to be a city councilor until August 30th, FYI. The deadline to file to run in the November election is August 30th. If you know anybody who wants to run, there's three open seats this fall election.
I don't want you to leave.
Salary benefits are great.
On questions of salary, I'm going to refer you to Councilor Goebel, who's not a big fan of paying us for our time.
Before we end this portion, I will note there in the back of that page, I put all the advisory committees that possibly we could have relationships with. So if anybody's interested in one of those that I didn't list, that's not in the front, I didn't want to be the one deciding. You could say next month if you want to be one of them, like Sister City. You know, I don't think we do a lot of relate. There's a lot of overlap. Anyway, next item.
Okay, our next item is our draft member expectations document.
It's on page 13, everybody. Have you looked over it? And what do you think?
I think it's perfectly reasonable. Except for you have to reduce regularly.
Did I spell it wrong? Where is that? Yeah.
That looks right to me.
The third check down. Fourth. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like the one in the packet's more up to date. It's the third one down, and the spelling's been corrected. Yeah. If nobody has any comments, then I will take a motion and second to approve these.
Motion to approve this. Sorry.
And a second to include this in our orientation handbook.
I second it.
Okay, and then all in favor, aye.
Aye.
And the ayes carry. Thank you. And moving on to item F6, our community event. So this ties in with a conversation we've had about Open Streets Corvallis and an email that Beth received, which I'll let her address.
All righty. So I got this great email from Ryan Hashigan, who has done a lot of work with Better NATO. And he said that was a project that involved the city, the community at large, and the schools. And it started off, it started off as an event, and then which included mock-ups of how they would like that street to be. NATO Street is in downtown Portland.
It's in downtown Portland, off the waterfront. And for years, they've done Better NATO summers, where they would take over one lane of the street, and then come the winter weather, they'd shut it down to, you know, to back to vehicular traffic. And just, I think it was just last year, they finally got it implemented as a permanent structure.
So it may be premature he's willing to come talk to us, and it may be a little premature to do it in the next few months, because we're kind of going to, as we left it, we're going to be concentrating on a school, bike to school event in the fall, and see how that goes, you know, supporting that event and not really committing yet to a community-wide event. But this is just something to put in your back pocket and read. And I've included information on Open Streets Corvallis, which is another community-wide event. And don't forget, it is August 14th. And then I got this little logo, more people choose to bike, which leads to more people invest in bike advocacy, which leads to bicycling becomes a better option for all, which leads to more people choose to bike. So that's kind of the philosophy behind this community-wide event and the work that we will be doing in the community. And so that was just overall. And then there was this program, national or state, which is Drive Less, Bike More. And I just saw all this good information on their website, including, you know, tweets and that sort of thing, that kind of a toolkit for a community-wide event. So I wanted to put that in your agenda packet, just to kind of have, like I say, in your back pocket for eventually, if the bike ped group chooses to do something. This is kind of helpful information, and I am full of other helpful information. It comes in my email box all the time. So that's why I threw that stuff in there. So that's all that's going on. Would you like to have Ryan Hashigan come this next month? Would you like to have him come in a certain future month that you can choose? Or what's your thought as a group?
Well, certainly next month would not be a good one because of our joint meeting, but I would like to talk to him about what he's done, because I think it would be a great perspective. It was a lot of work. I read up on what they did, and it was an absolute lot of work to convince the city and the downtown business district to actually give up a city lane permanently. Mm-hmm. And it's an impressive structure, what they've done. So I'd love to have him come and talk to us at some point.
And being firsthand and from the, I think he's just going to be a great source of information in general. And my thought is maybe September might be good sooner rather than later, because now we have a full bike ped group. I'm so happy, you guys. It might be good to do it this fall, as early as September.
I'd love to suggest that, hey, we could ask if he can come down in September if he can. If not, then maybe our October meeting. September would be fantastic, because we are, again, looking at doing a bike walk to school day in early October. I'd love to talk to him before that, if possible.
So is he in Portland? So would we do a Zoom thing? That's a heck of a commute to attend our meeting, so.
I believe he's willing to. If all he wants to do is Zoom, I haven't really connected with him. He said in his email that he would come, so I'm presuming that's coming here.
Well, if the committee's okay with it, then I'll reach out to him as the committee chair to talk to him over email, and then I can CC Beth, and she can forward the communications to the committee. And we can see what we can do about having him come in, and whether it's remotely or actually come and talk to us in person, if everybody's okay with that. So I'm making the noise for myself, and I'll get that done. Anything
just
more on that?
Some factual stuff. I checked out the structure. So what they did was they took some of the city, the Portland Bureau of Transportation's right away, and the outermost northbound lane from the Hawthorne Bridge up past the Steel Bridge, and they put in those little green paint with the bike symbol, and they have those those little plastic like little barrier things every few feet, and then they have merge lanes, which are pretty easy to understand as a driver at least. It's a pretty cool little setup. It's nice that they chose that lane going that way, because it's a better feed off for the bicyclists come off the bridges. It'd be kind of hard to do it on the southbound lane just the way it's structured, but it's worth checking out if you're up there.
Yeah, it's somewhat, you know, has a basis in guerrilla bicycling and critical mass type of stuff. It's like, let's just put this in. But I think it also included events, and just talking to him would be great to connect all that.
It sort of ties in with some of the guerrilla event type things that we've talked about doing with Ocean View and some of our longer term committee goals for fixing that. So,
well, it may give us some ideas in terms of things like Nye Beach area, and if they're going to be redoing the city center area, just to have those in our back of our minds.
Okay, so then I'll shoot him an email this evening, and I'll make sure to CC you on that, Beth, and we'll see where we go from there.
Okay. Next is F7?
Yeah, F7, BPAC Communications Alternatives, Beth?
Right. I entered this as an agenda item because RSLE was saying she kind of has a hard time sometimes getting texts, or was thinking of maybe there might be some alternative solution. Could you say what your... Like a text message you're thinking of. Yeah. And if I use my text, then that's opening up my phone to it. It becomes public. And I wasn't given. Yeah. I have to open my phone. And then I wasn't issued a phone that texts. But I don't know everything about technology, what's out there. And so I thought we'd just kind of do a Hive thing and see if there's an alternative to the group emails that go out. There's Yeah, but still, if I do it, well, then it becomes, it'll violate the public meeting laws, because if somebody else does it on their phone, regardless, you know, their phone number won't be given out, but still, it's not it's not public, and so we can't be doing that.
My recommendation is you ask IT to put together a summary of their opinion on it, and then you can send it out to the committee so the committee hears from the from Richard and what he thinks, and then maybe go from there.
I like that idea. I don't think we need to vote on that or anything. I'll just do it. And then I wanted to give my little staff update. Is that okay?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so moving on to, or back to something, it was in there. No problem. Okay, so I have just a little list of things. The Better NATO reach out done. I am very proud that I distributed bike maps to Pacific Maritime Cultural Center, the library, the 60 Plus, and the Rec Center, and Alan's going to be giving them to Hatfield, and who else just called? Martha's going to be giving some to Nye Beach Nye Beach businesses. And if you think of any other places where you work or play,
anybody given it to the bike shop?
Nobody's given to the bike shop. Don't forget to use your mic.
I can do the aquarium.
Okay, Martha, we'll do the aquarium.
Martha, I was inquiring today about that. Their new construction, they don't have their information stuff out yet. They will have one eventually, but right now, they didn't have a place to put them, so.
All right, well, I volunteer once a week, so once it's available, then I can just bring stuff.
All right, then you know when I speak.
I have a question for Lisa. When you moved here and you said you put together looked at the maps to find your way around town, did you find our bicycle route map anywhere?
Your mic?
This one that I'm holding here? This is the first time I've seen this, which I'm embarrassed to say. So I'm trying to.
Well, it's on us. It's like, I mean, where would you naturally gravitate to find that?
That's what I was thinking. Like, where would you, as a, you know, just coming into town, where you would find this more readily available? So that's in my head too.
Should we give it to real estate agents?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, who wants to do that?
Question. We have a lot of questions. Do we have any of them with the Chamber of Commerce?
I believe I saw it in there, yeah.
How about Richard lobbies of hotels?
I didn't suspend them to the Chamber of Commerce. I didn't even think about the Chamber of Commerce.
I'm embarrassed to say I didn't.
I talked to Judy a couple months ago, and she had the copy of the new one that was being put together. So I think she's involved with, or before she left.
What new one? Okay, that's you're thinking of maybe the Parks and Rec map of parks? Okay.
I'll check the Chamber of Commerce, and if they don't have some, I'll make sure to get them some.
Okay, Mike, I'll give you a pile of maps. All right.
Just one point. I don't know if the hotel lobbies have been getting them, because that's a lot of tourists.
That's been my goal, and I fell behind because of the pandemic, but I'm getting caught up.
Maybe the state park.
Who wants to do that? State park?
What?
Thomas is looking at you for some reason to distribute maps.
Sure, I could put you in touch with the person who does all that kind of brochure stuff.
Well, who? You put me in touch?
If you give me a bunch of them, I'll distribute them.
Yes, that's what we want to hear.
Our social media kingpin is a 75-year-old lady who works at the Salem office. She's been there since the beginning of social media.
Okay, so I will give two piles of maps to people, and I have boxes and boxes. Well, two. Okay, that was that.
Can I ask a question about the maps? Did this group put the map together?
So that the map that you're holding now was updated just before I joined the committee in 2018.
Thomas was here.
No, Thomas was not. No.
All of our time.
That was literally like two meetings before I applied to join. Yeah. And in fact, the first meeting that I came to was just a member of the public for public comment. They were discussing that map. So I inadvertently had some input into it as a member of the public and then applied for the committee afterward. It hasn't been touched since then that I know of.
Well, I was just curious, there's different colors on routes. Are these like bike lanes, class one routes? I mean, they look like city streets, but I didn't see a legend. So if we...
The idea was, if I recall correctly during from the discussion, that the different colors were to denote different difficulty levels. But I don't recall that they ever got a legend on there, to be honest with you. I'm ashamed of that. I should know that. Well, I know one of the longer routes actually goes out the Bay Road and then comes up John Nye and up 20 to come back into town. And at the time that route was being discussed, I've done it too, and it's a difficult ride. At the time that was being discussed, that was a point in time where there was a chunk between John Nye and Yaquina Bay Drive, or Yaquina Heights, whatever it is, the one that goes by the cemetery, where a landslide had taken out the south lane of 101, and ODOT was still rebuilding it. Just to give you some perspective on what was going on when that was being built.
So it's not the greatest, but it's what we have.
I don't know if this is like at all a sensitive thing, whatever, but I know that the Lincoln County has a bike map that I've seen, and I don't know.
I also. But I haven't heard a word once since the pandemic struck from the county, so I'm out of theirs.
Well, and the part of the reason I bring it up is, well, of course, because we're talking about distributing, but just in terms of design and you know, inclusion and any sort of piggybacking that's possible.
Well, what are you saying?
Oh, like, the routes, like Newport-specific routes being included in that, if there's any sort of... consistency between maybe the design or I don't
right. You're talking about working with Lincoln County Maps people.
That definitely part of that. Yeah.
Whoever put together their maps. Yeah, that's a good idea for the future at least.
Hey, we should schedule for a future meeting actually to dedicate a small amount of time to going over our map and. I'm not going to suggest necessarily when, but sometime this fall or winter, have an agenda item where we actually talk about the map and maybe doing a full redesign. And maybe we can even plot out some different bicycle routes that might be a little more tourist friendly.
Noted in the future agenda that we will be talking about the bike maps, the bike map of Newport. Okay, next. Is I talked to Laura Kimberly, as I mentioned, she's our librarian, and I guess I already said that. We need a library liaison, but she's doing a few things that we mentioned. Wait, who is our new librarian liaison? Oh, you guys. Okay, so she does story walks. We're talking about a walk with the whatever, doc. A walk with the doc is a program they have in Corvallis where they actually have doctors. routinely, but we can have walk with the library director, walk with the Parks and Rec director. That's a thought. Permanent story walk at Literacy Park is she's working on. The summer music series, maybe we could link somehow with that. Yeah, there's one tomorrow? Yeah. Okay, good. And that's about it. I have a list, but I think basically two library coordinators and me and Laura and the library board chairperson should all meet and talk about a joint meeting. Let's do that in the fall.
That sounds like an excellent idea. Okay.
There's a board meeting tomorrow at 5:30 right here, 5:15.
Okay.
FYI, it's going to be an extravaganza, I'm sure.
Library board meeting. Okay.
Throwing books at each other.
Those library people get wild. All right, and I wanted to let you know the August meeting is going to be 2 hours long, so set your watches. And Open Streets Corvallis is Sunday, August 14th. I'm probably going to go and meet with my little grandchild, who is 2. If anybody else wants to go, I would love to catch up with you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you want to go and carpool, I can carpool with, I've got a Mini Cooper, so maybe one person, realistically, five or six of us. So that's going on.
You can bike to Corvallis now.
There is the C2C, Corvallis to C trail. Okay. I'll meet you there, Thomas. I'll meet you at the Corvallis side. Okay, and finally, my announcement is I've been accepted to the Oregon Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee as a staff person, and that is actually appointed by the governor. So she saw my name on a list and said, okay, that's about as close as we'll ever get. So that'll be fun, and there's... we're having our first get-together meeting in 2.5 years coming up in July, end of July. And that's going to be in Portland. It's going to be a two-dayer. So, and they're paying for my lodging, and the city's paying for my time on those two weekdays. So I'm very pleased about that. That'll be fun, meeting people from around the state who are interested in bike ped. And part of what I've seen is what they're interested in doing is helping out all these different bike ped groups and kind of giving them feedback, maybe connection or organizational advice, maybe connections. So we'll see, but that's what I will be promoting for sure. And they are not the people who approve grant funding. Bike to School. What's the Bike to School group? Safe Routes to School subgroup that approves those. But they do a lot of good work. So that's all I have to report. Looking forward to next meeting. When we're going to be connecting with the Parks and Rec.
Okay, thank you, Beth. Moving on to finalize, because we are running over time. So are there any committee comments? No need to apologize. Our discussion with Aaron took up a considerable amount of time, and I think it was very valuable. Not at all. Okay.
I did want to make one comment, actually, from when we were talking about the projects, you know, coming through this committee, and he mentioned, you know, a lot of times it's not time and stuff. Basically, just putting it out there to recommend that, you know, at least the idea that time feasibility is considered, like, basically, is it feasible for us to allow the advisory committee to comment on this, you know, this project, whatever, essentially is just one little checkbox, like, did we consider that? Yes. That just in terms of that way, this committee is formally a part of that process, even if it is just a very minor, like I said, well, it didn't work out this time, but at least it's part of the formal process, kind of a crawl, walk, run thought. So.
Under the current framework, I guess the best place for that would be committee comments and in the goal setting process to make sure that that's in the record, that this committee said this about X project, to get that codified in the record and then remind city staff of that result before the next year's budget would be my recommendation, to get those two to be involved in the goal setting and involved in budgetary part is usually how the city processes stuff like that.
I'm not quite following.
So if you want the bike ped committee to as a majority of a standing committee to say we want input on Project X, then Project X is usually started during the goal setting process in March. And then that, if that is considered a goal that the majority of the council supports, then the budget committee provides funding for that project on a prioritization matrix. And so if you want to be involved in either tweaking the concept of the project or getting money for it, then those are the two inroads to get that project approved as a goal and funded for the following year's budget, is what I'm trying to say.
So that kind of puts it incumbent upon us to be aware of what those projects might be ahead of that planning session.
Well, you could ask the city manager's office to make sure to when they create their staff projects list, to share that with all the standing committees, which they don't always do, but will if reminded before they create that document or while they're creating that. And that usually is occurring in mid to late February every year.
Yeah, I heard Aaron say that we could add a checklist of items that they could put into their, when they're doing their design, that we add in things like you were saying, what they should be cognizant of to make sure that we're looking at the design to approve, to add input before it goes through.
Okay, noted for all that. Obviously we have no public comment, so then I will move on. If there's no further committee comments, to confirm our next meeting date, which again is August 9th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. with the Parks and Rec Committee. Look forward to seeing all of you there. And if there is nothing else, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:15 p.m. Thank you all for coming.
Just for information. And just for information, I won't be here next month.